It seemed an unlikely choice, this large establishment in the financial district. So then I stood outside and checked the address, the name of the restaurant. I wondered if I had made a mistake. But then I saw him through the window, seated at a table toward the back of the dining room. I stared through the layers of glass and reflection, the frame of my own face. Something uncoiled in my stomach, slow and languorous, and I decided it would be better if I left now and did not go into him. At that moment, the front door opened and a man stepped out. He inclined his head and held the door open, and because of that small courtesy, an invitation or injunction to enter, I went inside. The foyer was busy with diners collecting their coats, people surging in and then out of the entryway, and briefly I allowed myself to be buffeted by their movement. When the crowd dispersed, I could see across the dining room floor again. He was bent over the menu, examining it in a nervous posture. His table was between the entrance to the kitchen and the bathrooms, caught in a stream of constant traffic. A pair of businessmen bumped against its edge, and he sat back impatiently. I saw him take a deep breath, as if trying to collect or steady his thoughts. The host asked if I had a reservation. I said that I was meeting someone and indicated the young man seated at the back of the restaurant. Xavier. It occurred to me that the host must have been the person to seat him at this inhospitable table, and I saw a flicker of surprise cross his features as I pointed. He looked quickly from my face to my coat to my jewelry. It was my age, above all. That was the thing that confounded him. He gave a tight smile and asked me to please follow him. I was under no obligation to obey. I could tell the host that I had made a mistake, or that something had come up. I could turn and slip away. But by that point, it seemed too late. And much as I had entered at the behest of the man at the door, according to the imperative of mere courtesy, I followed the host through the warren of tables, each one occupied. I wondered again why Xavier had chosen such a crowded venue at such a busy time, when we might just as easily have met elsewhere, in the afternoon, in the morning or early evening, for a coffee or quiet drink. The din pressed against me, crowding the inside of my head so that it was hard to think, difficult to locate my thoughts amidst the noise. Xavier looked up as we approached. He set the menu down and rose to his feet. I remembered that he was unusually tall. I was momentarily intimidated, whether by him or by the situation, I wasn't sure. He smiled and said that he hadn't been sure if I would come. He had been on the verge of giving up hope when at last he had seen me. The host had already disappeared. We sat, one on either side of the table, me with my back to the wall. I looked across at Xavier and slowly unwound the scarf from my neck. He was still smiling. From the start, I had noted his natural charm, his charisma. But I now saw that he dispensed it with too free a hand. He didn't seem to understand the intensity of its effect, or the fact that he moved through a world inhabited by other people. In this sense especially, he was still very young.